So let's wipe the slate clean first. And let's do like just a little toning. It's been an interesting few weeks, eh? Maybe. One of the things that I've heard a lot of people saying and something I've been saying lately is it feels like on some celestial realm, things are getting so crystalline and clear. But here on earth, I've never seen such a very specific, and I don't look at it as bad per se, diversion in humanity that almost looks exactly cut down the middle. And a lot of people think that it's about beliefs or it's about politics, and it has nothing to do with that. When I see it, actually, if I'm able to just kind of pull back and look at it from a deeper level, I see people who at least choose, whether they're doing that or not, to let go of sort of losing ourselves in this dream that we call human life, because this is really just a movie. This is not real anyway. And that there's others that just, the door hasn't popped open yet. So who is it? I think it's Rupert Sheldrake who said that we don't see that we don't see. And it's like when you don't know that you don't know, then you don't know. And it's that whole forgive them for they know not what they do. And I don't mean that in any kind of a judgment way, but until I kind of consciousness popped for me when I was 19 in 1991, it's like up to that point, I didn't know that I didn't know. The door had never opened. And there was just this narrow range of frequencies that I was perceiving in my life, and I didn't believe any of the others because they had never plopped down in my lap. I couldn't hold it in my hand, and I wasn't in touch with a lot of these frequencies that are outside the realm of perception that the common everyday person just kind of wanders around not realizing is there, like within their grasp in any moment of time. So to sort of cleanse some air, let's just do one tone. We're going to make a sound three times. It's one of the sounds for light. I'll say this, we've done this tone here before. That kind of a light, well, that's a fluorescent light, but a direct light like that that you look at, a masculine light, that would be considered masculine. But this light as it reflects, be better if it was the sun rather than fluorescent, but the reflection on my hand, that's called Ra in ancient teachings. The reflection of that light is called Nu-Ra. Technically, there's an eight, like an H sound in the middle, Nu-Ra. But I'm not going to make you try to do that. So the sound Nu-Ra, Ra is light. Nu-Ra, what does new mean in modern English? New. It means new, which means what? Unique, fresh, never happened before. But intriguingly, there's nothing new under the sun. Nu-Ra, which is also moonlight, is actually Ra, which is sunlight. And Ra was also the representation of the God light, and human light was called Nu-Ra, a reflection of God light. So if moonlight's a reflection of the sun, human light, human awareness is a reflection of God, the one, Ra. So, and I'll also say that when one becomes aware, not that you're even necessarily a reflection of that God light, but that you are that God light, in Egyptian, that was called Ra, which was represented by a mythology of someone called Horus. And in Christianity, it was called Christos, the open channel of divinity, which was represented by the guy Yeshua, or Jesus. And most people don't even know that 87 to 92% of the Jesus story comes from ancient Egypt. It's not Christian in any way, shape, or form. So, shake that box a little. We'll do that more next month. I'll actually be back in like 4 weeks, right? So the sound we're going to make just sounds like this. It doesn't have to be perfect pronunciation, never mind pitch. It's going to be kind of like this. What I say is when we tone Nu-Ra, just be aware kind of a sunset or a sunrise. Before the sun comes above the horizon in the morning, it's called Nu-Ra. The light is called Nu-Ra. As soon as it hits your eye directly, it's called Ra. It's the same light. But what we're going to do is much like a sunrise. Just allow it to open as you tone it. In other words, we're not going, which is something, which is okay. It's just something different. So we're just going to make that sound three times, okay? One, two, three. Get a good breath of air. You don't have to last forever until you turn blue in the face. Get a new fresh breath of air now. Nu-Ra. wide open. Let it ring out. No. Feels good, huh? It's a nice sort of recalibrator. All right, now this is just a metaphor. I'm not implying this could have happened in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But let's just say at some point in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you had the news on the television, and a particular piece of information came on, but you weren't looking at the TV. You were looking off out the window, washing dishes, looking at something, the newspaper. What do you do when that piece of information comes on the news? What is your response usually when something comes on that surprises you? But what do you actually physically do? You turn and you look at the television. Now let's talk about that a little. Anybody ever met people that are very sight-based? They need facts. They need to know that something's in their hand before they can believe in it. And there's not something wrong with that per se. But intriguingly, I'll say that, first of all, the human ear has 10 times the frequency bandwidth of the human eye. The human eye can only perceive within 1 octave of vibration, okay? An octave. The piano's here, so 1 octave of vibration, okay? That's it. So the eye has... That's all. That's all it's got. Now, on that keyboard there is about 8 octaves. That's the eye, actually, that I'm speaking of. The human ear can perceive a bandwidth of around 10 octaves, 10 times that of the eye. As a matter of fact, the ear is so ultra-sensitive that if your eye were able to, just for 1 microsecond, be able to perceive what the ear can perceive in terms of bandwidth, you would instantaneously go blind because it can't handle that kind of information. It's too much information. You would literally go blind instantaneously. It's a real common philosophy in a lot of the ancient teachings that the eye was considered yang, which is masculine, something that projects, something that has a strong force to it, unaware of itself, let's put it that way. And the ear is considered feminine, which is yin, which is reflective, which is something that's more inner. It's not something so much that projects, but rather something that brings in. And I've got a great quote, actually, I don't usually write notes down. From Lorenz Oken, I believe he was from the 19th century. The eye takes a person into the world, and the ear brings the world into a human being. Now, I talk a lot about toning. I talk a lot about language. Actually, I just was contacted. I'm taking on participants for a mentorship program that I'm doing right now with just a handful of people, because I've been spending so many years going here 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours. And as much as I want to go straight down to the bottom, you can't do it in 2 hours. And a lot of times there's a lot of new people, so I have to go back to square one and revisit a few things, which is great. But I've been really seeking to go really deep with a few right now also as well. And like someone had contacted me wanting for me to teach them how to speak Aramaic. And I felt that out for a couple of days. And I'm like, I don't think I want to do that. Because I'm so far past the technicalities of a language. I'm just not interested in that in any way anymore. And I mean, they can learn the alphabet and the phonetics and all that kind of stuff. Because for me, it's not about a language. There's no such thing as a miraculous language. It's just really about the awareness of frequency and vibration. Because everything is about vibration. Everything. The whole world is vibration. It's uncanny, some of the stuff that Bill put in the notes here in the program. And he does that freaky stuff a lot of times. And we didn't work all that kind of thing out, all this about the frequencies. And I mean, how often, this is the only time I've ever walked into a center or any place to do an event and saw NM written down, nanometers. Now let me expand on that. That's something he wrote, okay, down on here. This is also the only time I've ever walked into any place for an event or me to speak where in my notes I had the word nanometers. It's never happened before. It's kind of freaky, actually. So, and we're going to get to what I mean by that in a few minutes. But the world is literally vibration. You know, in the Kabbalah, actually, they talk about how the most common misperception people have if they start studying Kabbalistic teachings is they get lost in the geometry. They get lost in the imagery. And in the Kabbalah, it says very specifically that the ego is fed by images. The ego is fed by what the eye perceives, which is why everything in ancient Hebrew and Aramaic is not saying, "See, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." It's actually, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is oneness." In Aramaic, that would be Shema Yisrael, Marya Allahan, Marya Chad Hu, if you speak that in Aramaic. But we're so dependent on this, on these, on something that can only perceive one single octave of frequency. Most people don't even realize that everything that you see and hear is actually vibration. The most impossible word, the word that's virtually impossible to get from ancient Aramaic into modern English, is the word translated as word in the Bible. The one thing I can tell you it is not is word. In Greek, the word's logos. The one thing logos does not mean is word. They called it the word with a capital T and a capital W, which is their way of saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. In Lexis or Lego in Greek would be word. In Aramaic, the word milta, translated as word, mela, would be a word on a page, intriguingly. But the closest, there's a section in my book where I originally wrote 6 pages of nothing but words that were examples of what the word word means in Aramaic, melta. In the beginning was the word. And then I realized 6 pages was just slightly overkill, so I cut it down to about a half a page. And then I said, there's no way to translate from ancient Aramaic or Koine Greek, there's no way to translate those words into any other language. Frequency, vibration, emanation, outpicturing. This one doesn't sound as romantic. Outgassing. Literally, you know, and there's all this talk about this Big Bang. Does anybody that's really into science? The Big Bang thing's brand new. It's only a few decades old. And almost, there's a very small little cadre of scientists that actually believe in a Big Bang. All of the philosophies up to this point said that there was not a Big Bang. There was actually just a fluctuation, an emanation, something that's so full of itself that it had to burst open. Interesting, but we have this obsession with bah. So now this leading edge astrophysicists say they can hear the Big Bang, and they say it's not actually a bang; it's like a pulse. The foreword to my book was written by my dear friend Steve Vai, who's an amazing guitar player. We just spent some time with him in Charlotte Friday night, and in the foreword he wrote about it. He called it the primordial ping. I've got a CD program back there called the Primal Voice. It's the same thing. It's that first. And you feel that when you're open in meditation, when you're deep in meditation, and there's just that moment. You've been meditating, it could be for years, who knows, and all of a sudden there's this sensation of as if you're not there. And one of the ways I often put it is it's like crossing my arms across my chest with my eyes closed and falling backward off a cliff. Except the difference is that I don't know what's about to happen. It's a very feminine experience that just, and we all have those moments. Maybe it's when you're listening to music. Maybe you're holding a baby in the first few hours of life. These are all sensations of frequency and vibration. Most people don't realize that if I hit a note on a piano, I'll give you an example actually here. If I hit a note from this bowl, hear that? There's more than one pitch here, by the way. There's a couple of them going on there. But that wobble, and then there's that really high pitch. You know what that is? That's frequency, it's oscillation, it's rhythm. When we hear music like rock and roll, we consider that rhythm. But if I start taking a beat, something we would call a beat or a rhythm, and getting it faster, eventually I'm not going to be able to do it. Starts getting faster and faster and faster. We don't hear the beat anymore. We start hearing it as a sound wave, like this. you keep going higher and 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 higher, about 65 octaves from most of the sound realm, all of a sudden it enters into the visual realm. And you've got one octave that you can perceive in the visual realm, okay? Now, what's really amazing about that is at the root of everything is vibration. There's nothing but vibration. I got some couple little pieces here I want to open you into. Okay, now on Earth Day. And Earth Day is 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4 seconds. You'll remember this tomorrow. So that's 86,164 seconds in the time it takes for the Earth to go through one spin, okay? Now, it's interesting, 86,164. If you transpose that vibration up exactly 65 octaves, this freaked me out in your notes here, in your thing. It enters into, see, he's got violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red. This one starts at 375 nanometers. It goes up to about 780 nanometers. And that's the frequency range for human sight. Funny though, exactly 65 octaves, in other words, you're speeding up the spin rate of the Earth, exactly 65 octaves up, it turns into the midpoint between orange and red, the two colors at the top here, which are at the absolute top end of the spectrum of what we can perceive with our eye. It's almost exactly in the middle of the two, 702 nanometers, which is almost the exact midpoint. Anybody ever noticed orange-red anywhere?
2 days ago.
2 days ago? When?
When the big fires were going.
Fires? Anything else?
Not the fires.
Here's some right here. Autumn leaves, the sun. You ever noticed anything that the most, what I would say, the most essential frequency holders of a spiritual vibrations on the planet, you ever notice what their robes are, the color of the robes? It's orange-red. Interesting. If you go up exactly one octave of vibration up from that vibration of 702 nanometers, you hit the exact vibrational frequency of deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, exactly one frequency up from the orange-red of a monk's robe. It's all frequency. Now, what's interesting about this is that a lot of the buildings that were built, not only in ancient times, like the pyramids, the Taj Mahal, a lot of these structures that we would consider to be sacred then were actually in exact proportions of vibrations, exact octave proportions of the rotation of the Earth of 1 year, which is called a sun year, of the Earth going completely around the sun, the moon tone, which is 1 month. And they actually specifically, most people don't even know this, they were creating buildings with geometric structures of frequency that if you put it into music, you'd actually be able to hear it. It would sound like a beautiful piece of music. Anybody that loves astrology, every single one of the planets has very specific frequencies of not only going around the sun, but its own spin rate itself. I'm trying not to use the scientific terms because I'm trying to get you out of the words that we're commonly using here. And all of these frequencies can actually be put together so you can even hear your own astrological chart, like music. One of the people that I studied for the last 25 years is a guy named Stanley Tenen, who I talk about in my book several times, who was one of those people that back in the 60s went, wait a second, I feel like I should look at the first verse of the book of Genesis in Hebrew, letter by letter. He was a mathematician. He didn't speak Hebrew, but he knew the Bible, or he knew the alphabet. So he was able to see numerical patterns that someone would not see if they were absorbed in the language, because they would only see words and root sounds and things of that nature, intriguingly. And he was the one that realized that the beginning of Genesis forms what's called a toroidal sphere, which is, could you do me a favor and grab the Inanna CD? Is there one that's out of a package? The toroid, if you, let's say that you're God, you're something that's non-manifest, you are the one, the only, and your mouth is full of yourself. Let's call that self smoke right now. What would emerge from your mouth if you went, and breathed out. What comes out of your mouth? Smoke ring. A vortex, yes. Vortices. A toroidal sphere. Now, this is the most naturally self-replicating, self-regenerating flow pattern in all of existence in the physical world. This is the pattern that the human heart sends out for 17 feet in all directions. It's not just a donut or a bagel. Stan calls it the bagel theory of reality. It's not just that. It's actually twisting and turning upon itself and expanding outward in all directions. Now, when we see a picture of the cosmos, I'm going to pass that around. We think that the cosmos, the Milky Way, is spinning out like this, but it's not. Number one, it's not three-dimensional. It's four-dimensional. And it's actually turning this way and spinning in multiple directions and flowing through that pattern at the same time. Now, what I'm saying is, what's really intriguing here is that is the flow patterns that the human ear perceives. It is the natural empathetic outpicturing of any kind of vibration that you hear. We tend to think of sine waves like this, but that's just a one-dimensional depiction on some kind of chart. It actually is something that twists and turns. On the cover of my book, it took a while, but the artists, I told them I wanted it as if a pebble was dropped in the center of the water and the cosmos was centered over top of it, and then the ripples went out. Because this was an actual experience I had the first time I toned the Aramaic Lord's Prayer in the mountains of Missouri, the Ozarks, back in 95. And I was sitting there, and the sun was coming up early morning, sitting on this lake, and I had the oar or the paddle across the canoe, and I was just sitting there until it was absolutely still. I didn't do this on purpose. It just happened that way. And all of a sudden, I found myself going, the first sound of the Lord's Prayer, Aun. And I opened my eyes and I saw those ripples moving out. And then after a minute or two, I saw the ripples coming back in and they were intersecting. They were creating all these patterns and fractals. And then I realized my voice was reflecting off of the water. My voice was reflecting off of the rock walls because I was in a little canyon. My voice was reflecting off the aluminum canoe. And I started losing sense of what was the sound I was sending out and what was coming in. But notice, when something's going on and there's something that startles us, the first thing we want to do is turn and look. Does anybody know why that is? Why do anthropologists say we tend to turn and look?
It's sort of like something happens
and scares us. It's a survival mechanism. And it's not necessarily only sound. What are the two sounds they say children are born with?
They cry and they...
What are the two fears that children, they say, are born with? Somebody just said it. Falling and loud sound. A falling and a loud sound. Now let me ask you something. When you're in that deep state of meditation and you feel as if, has anybody ever had that? As if you're falling through time? It doesn't feel great the first time it happens. When it happened to me when I was 19, it scared the living hell out of me. I thought I was dying just in a split second. That open door, the portal, and that's what Yeshua said, I am the gate, I am the portal, the word's Tareya in Aramaic. I'm that open gate or open door. It's not something that you see. It happens when your eyes are
closed.
Interesting. Now, I got a couple other little things here that have been sort of flooring me. All right, I already hit all that thing there. Interesting, you know, there's a part in the beginning of my book where I talk about someone named Laurel Elizabeth Keyes. Laurel wrote a little pamphlet in the late 60s, but she wrote a book in the early 70s called Toning, The Healing Power of the Voice. It was re-released recently where they put an audio recording with a CD with it. I don't think we'd be talking about toning here in the West, probably not without her influence. But she talks in the book about something that we all have experienced, especially if you were like around Haight-Ashbury in the late 60s. And you used to go to see the dead at the Fillmore. One of the things they would do is they would take an overhead projector and they'd put colored oils and water on a projector and they'd put a speaker next to it and it would wobble it around and it would create all these nice psychedelic fractal patterns. And they'd project it up on a screen. A friend of mine, a guy named Frank Netcher, who I only met because I was so intrigued by this software program he created called Sound Spectrum GeForce. And this Sound Spectrum, I've got quite a few videos on my website and on YouTube where it's me toning, and it actually takes the tones coming from my mouth and creates these fractal patterns from the vibration. Now, what's really amazing here is that's bringing together not only what you're hearing, but it's bringing together that aspect of sight into it. Everybody has probably seen on some level, like salt crystals on a drum head or sand on plate glass, and you put sound underneath it and it creates these beautiful patterns, exactly like Masaru Emoto and the hidden messages in water. And they would put sounds, particular kinds of music, they would project thoughts into this water, and then they would freeze it, and those crystals would create fractals. Now, what's really intriguing about those fractals is that if you look at the fractals that come from positive vibrations, whether it's a word of thought or positive classical music, as opposed to, I love Black Sabbath, but bong, tends not to create the most beautiful fractal patterns. Kind of like our life, things feel a little loosey-goosey up in the air, twisted inside out right now. We're experiencing the fractal patterns of what's in our hearts. We somehow think that there's a force outside of ourselves that's going to affect how we feel, that's going to affect our energy body, but it's all resonance. There's nothing outside of you. There's only one, and we're in this dance of oneness, and everything is connected. Intriguing little thing. But, you know, something I had never thought about before, and I just discovered this within the last week, very intriguing. You know how you can see the fractal patterns on a drum head, and it shakes into those different positions, that fractal. The thing I had never thought about is, let me ask you a question. You're going to probably go, huh? Where are the salt crystals or the grains of sand gathering? They're gathering where? No, I'm saying on a drum, in the still point. They're gathering in the spaces of silence. They're gathering in the places where there is no vibration. Does anybody know why that is? I'm really deep in the science for the last couple of weeks. The reason is not because it can't vibrate, but because the silent space. Anybody want to know why we're so afraid of silence? Is it because there's nothing there? Silence is not the absence of everything. Silence contains everything, which is why it scares the living hell out of us so often. Exactly like if you were to take the human eye that can perceive one octave and all of a sudden give it 10 octaves of range, you'd go instantaneously blind. And on some level in our heart, we know that if we allow ourselves to go deep into that silence, it's going to obliterate everything we think we know about ourselves, the human life, the name. And a lot of people tell me that all the time. I don't want to go through an ego death. And I'm like, well, you can call it an ego death. It's not an ego death. It's just you taking the mask down and say, look, I took my mask off, and wait a second, I got another one though, and this one's called New Agey Spiritual. I only see positive vibrations and light. And everybody knows those people too. The canaries are floating above their head when they walk in the room. I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. Why? Because they're not able to process those frequencies, because it's all frequency and vibration. Interesting. It's all about frequency. It's about vibration. It's about oscillation. Some of it's within your range of perception. Some of it's totally and completely outside. And I wasn't going to quote this, but this is from Steve Vai. This is in the foreword of the book. He talks about on the physical plane, when a person resonates with a particular vibration, be it a thought, sound, or other sense perception, they are perceiving a tiny overtone of the whole. Yet because all parts are contained within the whole, certain words and sounds can resonate in a person as deeply and profoundly as that person is in tune to receive them, able to comprehend them. There are virtually no limits to the high or low ends of the entire frequency spectrum. If a person's level of awareness is resonating at a high frequency, then the finer, more crystalline overtones of pure vibrations, such as inner joy, peace, presence, and the like, can raise the entire vibrational frequency of the human to an even higher, more refined harmony within creation. Now let me say this. frequency. It's just very basic frequency. It's beautiful, and it's crystalline, and it's angelic. But let's just say that for years, we were asking for a faster vibration. We were asking for higher awareness and wider light, and we wanted the whole damn thing to speed up. We wanted the spiritual life right here and right now. So instead of an orchestra that for thousands and thousands and millions of years has been sort of tuning up, and it doesn't really matter if the string section, the violins are like 5 or 6 cents off from each other. It really doesn't matter when the amplitude is low. But when the temple hits the pinnacle, we get to the pinnacle of the temple, the opening of the energy body of humanity. When that opens up, all of a sudden the amplitude gets louder, and we're no longer hearing just, we're hearing. What are people doing? They're going for their ears. Did you go for your eyes?
I went for my hands. I don't know why, but I...
Any kind of a sense, your 5 senses, how many senses do we have? Any psychologist, anybody actually study psychology? How many does psychology tell you? 22. And everybody talks about 5 plus 1, maybe. If you live in Asheville or near Asheville, then there's a plus one. But interesting. Well, we're not going into that right now. But so let me finish reading what he says here. If one is resonating at a low frequency, such as anger, greed, fear, etc., they can be lured downward by the intense gravity of those lower frequencies into a chaotic distortion. Why is that? Because when it's really fast and it's within your frequency range, that's okay. When it gets really high, all of a sudden it becomes piercing when it hits the high end of the range. But when it gets to the low end of the range, it gets a beat to it. It gets a rhythm. And that rhythm has much more propulsion and force to it, and it's got more wobble to it. You know those people that you're around and you talk to them, and it's like you're spiritual and you're light, but there's just that one person when they walk into the room. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard before they even say a word, and you've got this intense wobble. Do you know why you've got the wobble with them? Do you know what that wobble is? It's when two frequencies come almost within unison of each other, but they're close enough to create something called a beat. And the beat that you're feeling is the fact that you are so like them on a frequency level. Your orchestra, your frequency orchestra, is very close to theirs in certain areas, and you're resonating with them, and it creates that beat frequency. So the thing that you can't stand in the person beside you, excuse me, it's not in them. Anybody know what first forms in an embryo? What's the first thing that comes out of that creates when there's fertilization and the human embryo is created? What's the first thing that gets created? What's that? No. It's a heart cell. Does anybody know what the second thing is that grows out of the heart? The tongue. The tongue grows out of the heart. Does anybody know what the third thing is that comes from the embryo? The ears. Within 3 to 4 weeks of conception, it already hears. It hears the mother. It hears everything around it. It's picking up all these frequencies. Now, when a baby's first born, what's the one perception, probably above all the others, that's probably not working quite as well? It's actually the sight. But it's intriguing now because I've seen children being born now that are focusing across the room, whether people want to believe it or not, straight out of the womb. So the whole game's kind of getting turned up on itself. But one more little piece here from Steve. He says there's two elements at play here. One is the vibrations that can be considered all things, the orchestra of God, so to speak, which includes the physical and ethereal dimensions. The other is the empty, silent space that all vibrations dance within. Interesting. The empty space is no thing, but in essence is everything. Remember what I said? It's not nothing. It's not something you can perceive because you simply can't perceive everything. Either you are it or you're not. You can't perceive it because it's not separate from you. And that's what scares the living hell out of us, because we want to know who we are. And we went through the new agey create your perfect life 90s with our 10 lists of our best values and this is my purpose and all this great stuff. And we thought it was a great thing and we were living this prosperously abundant life, and then all of a sudden these cosmic waves came through in the last couple of years and went, oh, that little 10 values is so cute. And it was just a little shaking of the cosmic tailbone. And all of those cute things that you wrote on paper and followed for 20 years just got swept up into a dust cloud. It was real cute. You don't need to create the perfect life. You already have life that is perfect and whole. We just need to allow ourselves to be open to that silence so that life can live perfectly through us, which is what on earth and as it is in heaven means. Heaven is the wholeness. Earth is the fragmentation. And we think that there's something we can do to think our way into creating a perfect world. What we need to do is get our crap out of the way and get all of our thoughts and those limited frequencies out of the way so that life can live perfectly through us. Steve says, this empty space is no thing, but in essence is everything as it permeates and puts into motion all vibrations, making all things both everything and nothing. This is a F, and it's green. This is the frequency of the human heart chakra. This is the paradox of reality that the human mind is incapable of comprehending, but the conscious awareness is capable of perceiving when in tune. Everything that's happening for us has nothing to do with what's happening in the world or politics or your family or the economy or religion. Masculine doesn't mean outie. Feminine doesn't mean any. You notice that the two major icons we lost this year were Prince and David Bowie. How much more androgynous can you get? Everything that we thought was so is not so because it's not real anyway. Yogananda said, to become the ever joyous witness of a stupendous cosmic drama. You find that cosmic drama and you see through that cosmic drama in the silence, which is not nothing. It's everything. As I ran over a little bit, I'm just going to give you one little poem, and then I'll let you be. This is from Kurt Wolf, German. Gotta love German. Whoever has ears, hear. Whoever has eyes, hear and see. Whoever has hands, hear and see and do. Whoever has feet, hear and see and do and go. Whoever has a mouth, hear and see and do and go and speak. And be silent. And be silent. And be silent. And speak. There's never been a more important time for you to let go of whatever's scrambling around in your head. Because there's not a single thought in your head that's real. It's all based on limited frequencies, limited perception, and you are not what you think. You've never been what you think. You don't create what you think. You create what you feel. You create what's obvious to you. And your thoughts cannot even come within 1,000 realms of even grasping what it is that you feel. Don't believe what they said about change your thoughts, change your life. Changing your thoughts changes your perception of the dream. But you're not the film. You're not the movie that's on the screen. That's a dream. And you're not the film strip and the projector, which is your thoughts. You're the light in the projector, but there's no movie. There's no film strip and there's no projector. There's just... And you find that in the silence. That's what the word spirit was in ancient Aramaic. Ruha, it meant frequency or vibration. It includes breath, spirit, heartbeat, wind. How do you feel when the wind is moving across your skin? Cosmic expansion, magnetism, electricity. So if you want to go deeper into life, just let go and start using these. There's a reason why there's two of these. This thing makes stuff up that it doesn't comprehend. It fills in gaps that aren't there. And whatever you think you're going to see is what you see. But what you hear is something that's so much more profound. So I just say thank you for letting me go off, and thank you for being open.
For more information about Dale's work, including writings, audio, video, Dale's current appearance schedule, to schedule Dale for an appearance in your area, or to join the Aramaic Healing Circle email list, please visit www.daleallenhoffman.com. Thank you for listening and for your support of Dale's work.